This episode is sponsored by the new Xbox 720. Now with a 12-year warranty and 6 processing cores with enough power to heat your house. Stop using heating oil and start using the Xbox 720. And they said the PS3 could do a lot.
Hit it!
Do a barrel roll! 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 Do a barrel roll!
Be careful! It's a trap! Use bombs wisely! Use the brakes! Use the boots to get through!
Barrel roll! Barrel roll! Barrel roll! Barrel roll! Barrel roll!
Welcome to the Barrel Rollers Podcast for the week of September 27, 2009, episode 27, Great VC Titles Are Rare. I'm Nick.
And I'm Cody. And today, we got Nick back. So we're going to talk about all TV shows across the land, like good shows like The Office, CSI, Numbers. Oh, shit. This is a gaming podcast, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. I got some. Okay, I got my notes finally. All right.
Yeah, okay. All right, we're going to do video game stuff now. Yeah, okay.
Video game stuff. Okay, so what do we do here? Do we just turn on my 360 and listen to me playing? Because that sounds like it'd be a great podcast.
Okay. I'll talk to you later then.
Okay. I'll just keep this thing rolling. You can come back in about 50 minutes after I've successfully died 50 million times in Halo. Okay, let's go.
And I'll pretend to be like I was here the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, with me talking and you hearing the gameplay, you'll never notice the difference. I mean, we could substitute you for sounds of Halo.
Beep. Hey, Nick, what do you think?
Headshot. Oh, good stuff. Headshots, you know what games those go good with? First-person shooters. You know what games aren't coming to the VC? First-person shooters.
So Rare seems to think that they're long past the stage where they can get virtual console, their games, onto the virtual console. It's probably not going to happen.
It's really sad. On Kotaku, the quote was, so someone asked them if they were ever going to bring GoldenEye to the virtual console, and they said, no, that was some time ago, my friend. Fate was against us that day. Destiny conspired to raise the hurdles, even as we attempted to clear them, resulting in unpleasant groinal injury. I suspect we're long past the stage where an agreement was on the cards, but you never know. Stranger things have happened somewhere, probably. So basically, Microsoft is shafting us once again. Because if you don't know, Microsoft late 90s, early 2000s, they bought Rare, and basically all Rare games stopped coming to Nintendo desktop consoles. They still come to the DS, but that's because Microsoft doesn't really have a portable gaming device. So it truly is a sad day for anyone who liked GoldenEye, Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, Perfect Dark. Was there a second Perfect Dark? I don't know.
Jet Force Gemini.
Donkey Kong 64. Conker's Bad Fur Day. Oh my god, Jet Force Gemini is by far my favorite N64 game. Just because it was so awesome. So awesome.
Yeah, I've never really played it that much, but it looked pretty cool.
It was so awesome. I never beat it because it was just so ridiculous, but it was awesome.
So here's the problem. The workout is between Nintendo and Microsoft, and they're not sure which of the two companies technically has the rights to sell that game. So it's just a huge problem, and it doesn't seem like GoldenEye is ever going to see the light of day, at least not for a long time.
Not just GoldenEye, but every single one of those games.
Yeah, we'll probably never see those games again until Rare either goes independent again or goes bankrupt, maybe. I don't know.
I still really want Sega to buy Rare.
Yeah, something seriously, needs to happen. There's a lockup of way too many franchises right now.
No, it's not even that, but I mean, Microsoft bought Rare and they did nothing with them.
Yeah.
Because Rare put most of their franchises on Nintendo systems.
Yep.
It's truly a sad, sad day.
Really sad because the only way to own these games right now is to own the original cartridges. And with those becoming harder to find all the time, it seems like a lot of these games are just going to kind of disappear.
And my N64 died, so I sold off the remaining stuff I had to you and Dave owns my copy of Jet Force Gemini.
Yeah. Well, like, especially GoldenEye. Like, if I didn't own the original GoldenEye cartridge, I would never be able to play it.
I kind of hate you for that. Oh, that reminds me. I'm going to check up on GoldenEye Source because you can actually make Source mods with Half-Life 2 stuff. And someone was actually making a mod for Half-Life 2, GoldenEye Source. I know the multiplayer was up, but I don't know about the single player. The levels look fantastic, though.
Yeah, really. Do you think I could run it through boot camp?
Oh, yeah, no problem. You got a MacBook Pro. You can. Oh, dude, MacBook Pro is the best Windows machine you'll ever own.
Oh, nice. And I need to have Half-Life 2, though, to play it, right?
Yeah, but that's no problem. You can spend $50 and get the... Actually, I think it's like $30 now to own the Orange Box.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, that'll get you 5 great games. You'll be able to play... Actually, 6 great games if you include Peggle, because you get a copy of Peggle in that. You'll be able to play all the Source mods you want, as long as you don't have to pay for them. Stuff like Garry's Mod, Data Defeat Source, Counter-Strike stuff. Stuff like that. But, unfortunately, you know where you can't get free mods? 360. The 360. Yep. So, like I said, if you own a copy, any copy of Half-Life 2 or any game that utilizes the Source engine on a PC, you can play just about any Source mod for free, as long as you don't have, obviously, if you don't have to pay for it. But for the 360, you weren't able to get mods because no one really, because of basically Microsoft, because they basically make everyone charge, they charge money for everything you put on the Xbox Live Marketplace. And, basically, Valve is thinking of taking the best of the best mods and then reselling them on the marketplace, which I don't think is a bad idea. But it's one of those other things that really shows the true colors of Microsoft in that they really do charge for everything.
Yep. It kind of stinks, though, because, I mean, on one hand, 360 owners will finally get the chance to play some of these mods.
Yeah.
But on the other hand... These are a lot of these mods will probably be mods that you can get on the PC for free.
Yeah, exactly.
So it seems kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. And it's one of the. I mean, they do the same thing with all games. I mean, a lot of every single downloadable content for a 360 game you have to pay for. And I was really pissed because I bought Fallout 3 on Steam, and I'm like, oh well, if it's on Steam, I'm not going to have to pay for the downloadable content. Come to find out that the online is actually for Fallout 3 is actually run and owned by Microsoft Live, and I had to pay $10 for each downloadable content. I'm like, screw that, I'm not going to buy it. So yeah. I never bought any downloadable content.
It's kind of a turnoff, especially when you know that PC owners are getting it for free.
It's really a turnoff because you pay $60 for these games, and you don't get what basically you'd be working for. And one of the articles we took out was on Slashdot. It's why games cost $60. And at the end of it, one of the publishers said what they're really going to try to do is bring the cost down of the initial game, but then charge for downloadable content. And I would be fine with that. I'd be perfectly fine with that if I didn't have to spend $60 on downloadable content, on $60 on Fallout 3, and then have to buy $10 each for – it's like $10 each for 5 extra downloadable content packs for Fallout 3. That's $110 for a full-fledged – for quote-unquote full-fledged game. That's bullshit.
No, I totally hear you. But you know what else is kind of bullshit?
Pass.
Nintendo Wii finally got a price drop, but only a $50 price drop. Only down to $200. Okay. I was really surprised with that.
Yeah, I know. We've been talking about this for a couple weeks, and it is official. The price drop will be happening tomorrow, today, yesterday, 2 days ago. It all depends when you download this podcast, but to give a specific date, it would be August 27th. 2009, it will be dropping down to $200, and I think as I have agreed with, and I'm pretty sure you agree with me, is that this not effective. It needs to be $150 because it is now the same price as the 360, the arcade 360, and with all of the prices of the peripherals that you can buy for the Wii, it really should be cheaper.
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. If the 360 can go for that little, I don't know. As you can see from this article, Nintendo sales for Wii have absolutely plummeted within the last year.
Yeah.
And I think it's due to both the 360 gaining a lot of momentum and the fact that oversaturation of the market, you know?
Also, our economy's in the shitter.
Yeah, but like a lot of people have Wiis.
That's exactly it.
You have to try to convince the people that don't have Wiis that... I mean, the people that don't have Wiis right now, I know I went over this last time, are the people that had never really had any intention of buying it.
And no, I guarantee you that the people – go ahead.
Like, you need to convince those people that the Wii is too good of a deal to pass up.
No, what I was going to say is that, I mean, I feel like 50% of the people that don't own Wiis know someone with a Wii and have spent enough time on it that they don't need to buy it.
Possibly.
I mean, it comes down to that.
But along with the Nintendo price drop, they also announced the release date for New Super Mario Bros. Wii. It's going to come out on November 15th, which is a really interesting marketing strategy because it's obvious that they want it in stores in time for the holidays. They did pretty much the same thing with Super Mario Galaxy 2 years ago. It came out in November, and a lot of people just got it for Christmas. But, I mean, I'm banking on the fact that it's going to be a good game. I really hope it is. Classic Super Mario Brothers platformer on a console hasn't been seen since the Super Nintendo days.
I don't know if I'm going to buy this one. I don't know.
I don't know. I think it could be pretty cool, especially with the fact that you can do 4-player co-op.
And you can throw your co-op buddies off the edge. I don't know, though, because, I mean, like, I don't know a lot of people that own Wiis that play online, and I don't really...
Well, it's not really online, I don't think. I think it's mostly, like co-op, like, on the same console.
Yeah, but then again, I don't know a lot of times where I'm going to be playing with people on my Wii in the same room.
I mean, that's I go to college.
I go to college too, but if I lived at college, I probably would understand about people being in my room playing with my Wii. Yes, I made that euphemism intended. But I just
4 years later and we're still making Wii jokes.
Man, I remember when you were in line and I was talking to you on the phone and I was just cranking them out. Dude, this thing's got a pointer. It tracks motion.
All right, enough of that. Nintendo Wii sales down to $200.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work. I guarantee you. I don't think it's going to work.
We shall see. I don't – like I said, I think it's an oversaturation of the market problem. But
yeah.
Up next, we got next-gen Wii with HD graphics.
So basically the president of Final Fantasy the president of Square Enix, which is the biggest Japanese game house – says that they believe that a new, maybe not Wii, but a new Nintendo console will be coming out in 2011 with HD graphics, a new controller, and basically will be able to do everything the 360 and PS3 can do along with motion control. And he also says that the PS3 and 360 motion controls are not going to be as big as the Wii one. And I mean, I'm kind of on the fence with HD graphics and motion controls for the Wii. I do believe he's right saying that the 360 and the PS3 are not going to have – like it's not going to – if it's – even if it does work as well, it's not going to sell as well as the Wii has.
See, here's what I think. Nintendo can't just make a console that has the same power as the 360 and the PS3. They need to make a console that surpasses the power of the PS3.
I don't think so.
No, because listen.
Okay.
My argument. By 2011, this console will already be 6 years old. All right.
The Wii?
Wii will be 6 years old in 2011.
It came out in 2006, dude.
Yeah. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah. So, like, all right. Say, like, 5 years then.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, by that point, I think Sony and Microsoft are going to look into making a new console, too. And they know that they have to top their own console. You know what I mean? They can't just resell the 360. They're going to have to make something that's more powerful than the 360. So if Nintendo makes something that's only equally as powerful as the 360, they're going to find themselves in the exact same problem that they were in this entire generation.
No, I don't
think
so.
It's just not powerful enough to run these more advanced games.
No, because I think what they're basically doing is – I mean, I think if they were to update the graphics significantly and keep the motion control the same, I mean, tweak it a little, but for the most part, keep it the same, it would do great. I mean, if you think about it, the GameCube was probably the least graphical intensive out of the last generation of consoles with the GameCube, the Xbox, and the PS2.
I kind of doubt that, but go ahead.
Well, I think it is because, I mean, if you look at the games that came on those systems, I think that the GameCube really got – if it was as powerful, people didn't utilize it as much. But – I really think that basically what they did is they took GameCube graphics and put motion controls on it, and then the other two kind of advanced in graphics. And I really think if the Wii could be equal to or maybe even a little better than 360 in graphics, it doesn't matter what the 360 and the PS3 do for graphics because the Wii will have already made another step dealing with motion control and high def graphics.
No, but they're bringing themselves into the exact same. If they did that, they'd be bringing themselves into the exact same problem as they were in this generation.
I don't think so, because they didn't have
as powerful as a last gen system, and it makes ports incredibly hard and frustrating for developers.
Yeah, I don't know. We're splitting hairs here.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm just saying, I think Nintendo has to get up to, they have to almost like bypass the power of the 360 generation and move into the generation after that.
I think it's going to be tough.
They have to make a huge leap in terms of pure console power. If they do that and they tack on a new really cool motion controller, I think it can easily be the best-selling system of next generation.
You know what I would like, though, is if like I know you were saying that if the Wii had – the next generation anyways had more power than the 360. What I would like is if it had the same graphics as the 360 but then they dedicated more power to better motion control, I would enjoy that.
Yeah, better motion – but like I said, it still makes ports frustratingly hard for developers.
Yeah, you could just use – I mean with that amount of power, you could probably just use an upscaling video converter.
Well, why can't they do that this generation then?
Because you'd have to put that into the Wii.
Oh, I granted, but I don't know. Like I said, I think that it has to be able to compete power-wise with the other consoles, because Nintendo, before this generation, said, all right, we're not competing power-wise with the other consoles. And I was like, all right, let's see how that does. But the Wii is hurting because of that.
Yeah.
I think the Wii would be a much, much higher seller if it had the power of the other consoles.
Oh, definitely.
It's because it can't run these more advanced games coming out.
Right.
Like Brutal Legend and Arkham Asylum and like all these like really graphic-intensive games that are coming to the Xbox 360 and PS3 and just simply can't be ported to the Wii.
Right, right. All right, but this is a complete tangent, but I was over at my friend's apartment this weekend, and he was actually taking apart a 360, and the second he took like the white outside case off and the hard drive and stuff, it was small. Mm-hmm. Like the inside of it is really freaking small. It's really deceiving.
Huh, that's interesting. Maybe it's mostly for cooling and stuff like that.
I'm thinking that, but like what it was is he took off like the white outer shell, he took off the front plate and the hard drive, and all that was left was basically the innards of a computer, because that's what the 360 really is. And it literally looked like, I don't know, maybe 1.5 times size of the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as big as what it looks like when everything's put together. It was really weird.
Hmm.
But I just wanted to get that out there, because I don't know, just something to think about. But yeah, I going back to the Nintendo, I mean, one thing that's really plagued them this generation anyways, I mean, not even hardware specs, but just the lack of quality control in their games. I mean, some of their games are really crappy, and apparently they're going to be taking one of their own companies and sending them to the Mario Club. Yes, they will be creating a Mario Club, which apparently supposed to improve quality control, but as Nick pointed out, probably won't.
No, this new Nintendo Club idea, when Cody first told me, I thought it was more of a quality control thing to kind of get some of these crappy third-party titles off their system.
Well, that's what it sounds like, but no, it's
but
not.
According to this article, all it really seems to be is a company that tries to get bugs out of games. So the way I read it is that they might even just be there to get bugs out of really shitty games too.
So it really isn't quality control. It's more of like, let's get these glitches out.
Exactly.
Damn it. I had something to say and I can't remember what it is now. Oh, well, I'll probably think of it later. We can move on. Okay. So now that we're off of the Wii topic, we can go to the PS3 and motion control coming in March. That's right. Motion control has been announced to come, at least in March, to Japan, because they get everything first.
Yep.
But, you know, at E3, they said it was coming out in the spring of 2010, and looks like they're going to be right on with that one. Looks pretty good. I mean, there's been a lot of reports that it's going to be coming out in spring of 2010. Maybe not to the U.S., but if it's coming out in March, it wouldn't surprise me if it hits us before summer starts.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And along with that, apparently games that are currently out will actually be able to support motion control. I have an article here about using the PS3 motion control for Resident Evil 5. I haven't watched the video yet, but I intend to soon because it looks pretty cool. But I know there's been some other games that have been announced, like Little Big Planet will be able to use motion control and stuff like that. I remember what I was going to say about the Wii. Okay, we'll finish up this article and we'll talk about that. Okay, so basically, I don't know if they're going to be using a software update to update these games to the PS3 motion control. But I know one way I heard is that they could actually map motion to already pre-existing buttons.
Well, all right. I'm actually really reading this article now, and it seems that what they're going to do is they're just going to release an alternate version of Resident Evil 5.
Oh, that's like, kind of stupid.
On disc that'll support whatever controls, the motion controls of the PS3. And they also have plans to release a 360 version, I'm assuming, to work with Project Natal.
That's kind of... Oh, I wish... Why wouldn't they just do a software update?
I don't know. Maybe it's beyond a software update, and maybe they just want more money. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, you got a point there with the more money, because everyone wants more money these days.
Yeah, I know. I see people who want more money.
Yeah. Okay, I'm pretty sure we're done with this article. What I was going to say about the Wii is what they really need to do with the next-gen consoles is have some sort of system to get patches for games.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. The fact that games on the Wii can't get patches is really holding it back,
oh, yeah.
I think.
Well, not even that. They need better internet. Come on, people.
Like, the Wii needs a patch. The Wii, for some reason, isn't getting a patch for Rock Band 2, and it's probably because the system just can't handle it.
The system, I don't know. It's because, like, the system itself doesn't really store – it stores – basically save data on the memory. It doesn't really store raw data from the disk.
Right, exactly.
But they need to get more storage, one, and they need to get patches, two. They need to get better internet, three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that done. We're all done.
There's a lot more stuff. What else do we got here?
Rock Band 2 update debuts audition mode.
Audition mode.
Okay, so basically what's happening is we've talked about the Rock Band Network, and basically it's a way for creators to put their own stuff on the Rock Band store without going through Harmonix. Basically, they'll be able to use free to it's now free. I know earlier we were talking about it might be paid for. Harmonix has released free tools for people to create their own stuff and put it on the Rock Band Network. All they need is like a $60 creative tool for the Microsoft Live, but that's only like it's like $60 for 4 months. That's not bad. And what's interesting is a couple months ago, we actually interviewed Mike from Harmonix. We know his sister. We went to high school with her. And talked about the Rock Band Network. And he actually sent me a message through Facebook. And basically, I'm actually in the beta testing for testing songs that will go onto Rock Band Network, which is pretty awesome. And I tried it out today. And it's actually really nice. Basically, what you do is you go on the website, you download a song. It basically streams it to your Xbox after you download the update. And you can play it right there, and then you can choose difficulty, no fail mode, stuff like that. You can have multiple people playing at the same time. And then you just go on and give feedback. And then basically what's going to happen is all songs that are done with the process of being reviewed will go on to the 360 only the 360 Rock Band Network, and then the most popular ones out of that will then go to PS3 and the Wii. But other than that, I mean, it's finally debuted. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much to say about this. Other than the fact that the update isn't just for Rock Band Network, it also allows support for wireless mics. And
that's cool.
It allows you to download multiple DLC songs at the same time.
Yeah. That just the one thing I don't like about the streaming. Basically, what you have to do is you go on with the Rock Band Network. You have to audition the songs. You have to go online. You have to download this program that they created called like Magma or something. And then you download the song that you want to play. You send it to your 360, but you can't have like a queue of songs. You can only have one song on your 360 at a time. So if you want to test another song, you then have to upload it again to your 360. So every time you want to play a new song, you then have to go to your PC and then kind of stream it back to your 360. It's kind of annoying, but I can understand why, because if you get like a boatload of these, you could just go to a party and have fun with it. And I'm pretty sure that might be against their terms of service.
Yeah.
But I mean, other than that, we're getting some pretty cool stuff from Harmonix and Rock Band.
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely seeing a lot of really good support as far as Rock Band 2 goes. I've never seen a game that was supported this good on a console.
Oh, on a console, yes. I was going to say Valve and Steam, but never mind. BioShock 2.
BioShock 2 hits stores in February. That's about all we have to say. Up next.
Dude, not cool. I wanted to say it because you've never even played BioShock.
All right.
BioShock 2 is coming on it's supposedly coming on February 9th. Pray to God it doesn't get moved back again. Okay, next story.
All right. World of Warcraft hits 180,000 bugs.
Yeah, that's the exact number. 180,000 bugs in World of Warcraft. Basically, Blizzard has what was it? So they had BlizzCon. BlizzCon is the famous Blizzard event for all Blizzard games. It's where they showed off World of Warcraft, Cataclysm, the new update, StarCraft 2, Diablo 3, stuff like that. And basically, they just had a thing up there that says that there have been just under 180,000 bugs tracked. I guess as of this point, it probably has surpassed that. But ever since the game came out, I guess they've had this bug tracker just going on and on and on. And every time a bug comes up, I'm not sure if this is how many bugs are existing in it, but
how many bugs have been reported?
Right, exactly. And probably most of them have been if not a lot of them have probably been patched already. But I mean, it just goes to show you that even a game as World of Warcraft can have a shitload of bugs.
Well, to me, a game so open-ended and a game that's played with so many different people doing so many different things at different times on such big servers, it doesn't really surprise me. There's a lot of possibilities that this game probably didn't predict happening before.
Well, that's the other thing. That's the other thing is that if you get a user base like World of Warcraft, you're obviously going to find every little detail in the game.
Yeah.
And I just did some simple math, and it came out to – the game's been out for about 5 years now. That comes out to 98 bugs per day.
Wow, that's pretty nuts.
Holy shit. And you wonder why World of Warcraft patches are gigs long.
Yeah, right.
Like, I know people with dial-up who have to run it for, like, a whole weekend.
Crazy.
Then again, you would expect people with dial-up that are playing World of Warcraft would actually spend more money to get better internet service. Not the point. Okay, article on Kotaku. Title is, "Seriously, this should be illegal." And if you look at Kotaku often, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Basically, Geek Squad over at Best Buy charges $130 to what? Set up your PS3. There really is no article underneath this picture. It's just a picture of what is at Best Buy, and it basically says, "Purchase any PlayStation 3 and get Geek Squad in-home gaming setup for only $129.99. Geek Squad in-home gaming console setup includes setup and configure gaming console, installation of the latest firmware updates, setup and configure local user accounts with parental controls, setup and configure of one online account." Really? Why don't you just give the 15-year-old who lives on your street a call? He'll do it for free.
Yeah, really, $129.99, that's absolutely insane. Considering that that's like paying for a PS3 and a half, like...
That's exactly what it is. I mean, I could use this money and like invest in buying Windows 7 because it costs so freaking much.
That's absolutely ridiculous. I'm sorry. I think anybody should be able to do those basic steps, seeing that when you turn on the console, it probably walks you through most of those.
It comes with directions!
I know. It's called a direction manual. They never had, like, Geek Squad back in the day. You know, you just kind of read instructions. I know that's kind of out of people's grasp right now. But if you don't know how to work something, it's called this thing called – it comes in a box. It comes in the box of almost every electronic. It's called an instruction manual. What you do – is you take it out of the box,
read it,
and open it up, and you use that stuff that you haven't probably used since you were in school called reading, to read the manual, and then you use what's in the manual and apply it to the system. I know it's a complicated process, but...
Okay, okay. I do give Geek Squad credit for actually offering this service, because I can't tell you how many times I go over to people's houses, and they're like, oh, my VCR won't work. Yes, I know people that still have VCRs, and I find out that they put the yellow, red, and white wires in the wrong holes. Like, they'll put the yellow and the white and the red and the yellow and stuff like that. Like, I understand that sometimes color coordination is not people's best interest, but $130, especially if you have an HD TV, you know what that means? You take one end of an HDMI cable, put it in your 360. You take another end of an HDMI cable, put it in TV. Other than the power cord, you're done.
Like, yeah, that.
Like, I can understand if it's like $10 or $15 and maybe like a gas charge, but $130 is bullshit.
Hell, they should give it to you for free if you buy a PS3.
No, yeah, they should. They really should. Actually, if you don't know how to plug a gaming console in, you shouldn't be buying one in the first place.
Yeah, that's a bit ridiculous. $130, that should be illegal.
God. I think we hit all the stories.
That's wow. About it.
That went by really fast. I mean, you got anything else you want to talk about? I mean, how's Beatles Rockband treating you?
It's pretty sick, not gonna lie. Been playing a lot of Beatles Rockband, and I've also been playing a lot of Batman Arkham Asylum on my roommate's 360, and both games are absolutely worth the money.
I hate to be this person, but as avid of a video game fan as I am, I actually think in the past 2 weeks I've done more reading about programming than I have playing video games.
Huh, crazy.
Because I really kind of want to program my own video game. Huh.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, seeing that that's the career you're going into.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm taking the long route for playing video games, but oh well. I know last week I didn't give information for our blog, but if you want it now, it's thebrpodcast.blogspot.com. You can view all of our show notes. You can download episodes there. I guess I'll repost the Balrogs Adventures episode that we posted in there, because Nick loved making that so much. And you want to email us, send us hate mail, send us lover mail, or send us neutral mail, whichever one you choose, at thebrpodcast@gmail.com. And I don't know. I think that's it. I mean,
that's about it.
I mean, follow me on Twitter, although I haven't posted shit in the past 2 weeks because I've been busy with school. Nice, short, quick episode to the point, and I guess we're done. We'll see you next week.
All right. Sounds good.